Na'adi gachet.
Na'adi gachet.
He should not approach to enjoy. Striham, a woman. Pragya, one who can intelligently discriminate. Tarhit chit, at any time. Vrichum, death personified. Atmana, for oneself. Bala, in strength. Adikai, for those who are superior. Saha, he, Anyata, will be destroyed. Gajai, by elephants. Anyai, by others. Gaja, an elephant. Yata, just as. Translation. A man possessing intelligent discrimination should not, under any circumstances, try to exploit the beautiful form of a woman for his sense gratification. Just as an elephant trying to enjoy a she-elephant is killed by other bull elephants, also enjoying her company. One trying to enjoy a lady's company can at any moment be killed by her other lovers who are stronger than he. Report. Just as one is enchanted by the beautiful form of a woman, many other men will also be enchanted, and there is danger that they will be stronger than oneself and may even jealously kill one. Crimes of passion are extremely common. This is another disadvantage of material life. So just a very short purport there. Not a lot needs to be said. So the previous verse also, verse 13, described how one should never desire to touch a young girl. In fact, should not even let his foot touch a wooden doll in the shape of a woman, because one becomes captured by illusion, just as the elephant is captured by the she-elephant due to his desire to touch her body. So in that previous verse 13, it describes how one can be trapped and illusioned, bound and captured, and then live a very difficult life as a result of one's attraction for the opposite sex. And in this verse here also, it further describes the dangers of becoming attracted to enjoy the beautiful form of a woman, that apart from people who may try to capture the elephant, either to use it as a beast of burden or sometimes to kill the elephant, but even sometimes the elephants themselves will kill each other. So in all cases, it's a very dangerous situation. We see that in the animal kingdom, as well as, you know, the animal kingdom, it reflects the same thing actually goes on in human society, but humans tend to look at animals as being in a lower, less fortunate position, but really they're doing the same thing. We see that you know, there is a constant struggle amongst the men to be able to capture the best, the most attractive female. So sometimes you see antelope, or, you know, different species, and they have the long horns. You know, they will battle it out, you know, head to head. They will just, you know, run from a distance and smash their heads as hard as they possibly can, you know, with these, you know, deadly horns interlocking like that. Very, very dangerous. And we see also just even just in the streets, you see the dogs, you know, they've all got scars around their ears and their faces and their nose from, you know, having fights over, you know, the local dog for mating. A very, you know, very horrible existence for a dog. You see that they always this constant fear that they just go near another dog who's protecting, you know, his mate, and there'll be some fight, savage fight. So I know when I was on the farm, one of the bullocks, they also, even among the bullocks, they can be a little defensive. And I saw there was one bullock who had died, and when I looked at the carcass, you could see that it had a huge hole right through its skull where another bullock had just butted it and just stuck its horn right through its head and killed it on their farm. So very dangerous. But in human society, there is also this you know, very dangerous situation that people will kill each other for you know, in competition. Men will kill each other in competition over, you know, a woman. So there are you know, practically every day throughout the world. In some countries it is particularly bad. But there are just constant murders going on, and you know, in this constant battle between the sexes at this. So very, very dangerous situation. Again, sometimes, previously, we see in the animal species that in some senses they're actually more civilized than humans in Kali Yuga, because you will see that generally the male species, they will battle it out against each other, and then they will get their mate and they will protect their mate. In Kali Yuga, you see that there's a tendency that men become, that they really don't have any good qualities, and you know, there's no real backbone. So they become very, you know, cowards, and they, instead of, you know, battling it out with other men, if they, you know, rather than enter into that competition, as a sense of frustration and anger that they can't get the, you know, beautiful woman, and because they're, you know, very frustrated because they want that beautiful woman, therefore they take it out on the women. You see in South America there's a trend, practically a fashion among men, which is in sort of, you know, epidemic proportions, where men you know, who are feeling very angry and frustrated, you know, they will regularly go out and they will, you know, capture some woman and they will kill her. And, you know, rape her and then mutilate her. And so, the you know, something we don't find even among the animals, but just a very, very dangerous situation. So, you know, this verse, of course, pointing that out. Sometimes also, you know, these verses are pointing out the disadvantages, of course, of material life. People should be aware of them, and although the greatest joy in the material world, which appears to be sex life, can come with the greatest disadvantages and the greatest dangers. That's what these verses are pointing out. These disadvantages also come in subtle ways. In other words, one protects or tries to compete with other rival men for the beautiful women, sometimes not by violence but by other means. So you know, we see people work very hard to get a nice car. Actually, when they had the the Bhagavad Gita, play, and Indra Jumnaswami Maharaj was here, and they do the play for the Bhagavad Gita, and you see that they, you know, bring out the toy of the car, and the women, you know, immediately attracted by the, you know, very shiny red car, what have you. So, you see that men, in order to attract, you know, the beautiful women, they'll have to get the best car. You know, it has to be the fastest, the shiniest, you know, has to have the certain upholstery and all the gadgets and the CD stacker and everything like that, and air conditioning. Of course, you know, they have to get the most comfortable house, and so many bedrooms, and you know, so much furniture, and it has to be in a certain neighbourhood, and, you know. They have to have a certain job with a certain level of income in order to attract. There has to be you know, a certain amount of wealth, certain amount of status. They have to be able to promise the women a certain amount of, you know, shopping. And the women have to have, you know, if the man can't provide, then yes, you can shop pretty much at will. Here are different credit cards and what have you. Then another man who can provide that, he may get the girl. So they have to work very, very hard. I know quite often, as you know, as I walk down the street, you see some of the ladies, and they step out of a very, very expensive car. And they're dressed, you know, immaculately, thousands of dollars worth of clothes and jewelry, hairstyle, like that. And I always think, you know, who's paying for that? You know, someone is working very, very hard. Of course, you know, quite often it is a woman, but also the men certainly, you know, do their bit. And as I say, behind every successful man is a, you know, a good mother or a good wife. And from another perspective, behind every well-dressed woman, there's a good husband. It sort of works both ways. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada, of course, had a policy that, you know, it's a very difficult situation being in the mature world, being attracted by the form of women. So Prabhupada's policy was to try and keep the brahmacharis as far as possible, because it will save you know, a certain amount of time and trouble, difficulty. But Prabhupada also had, there's another side to that policy which was very unusual. The Prabhupada's policy was, you keep the brahmacharis as long as you can, and you get all the women married. Yeah, that's a fact. That's actually the policy. Because the difficulty is it actually, as we describe, in this age of Kali, women actually have no shelter. They have no shelter from the government. You know, the government is making it legal, yes. Let the men be rascals, and yes, we make it legal. You just have abortion, that's fine by us. These men can do as they please, and you know, the women in difficulty will give them some minimum payment, or they can have abortion. So, you know, we are making them fair game for the rascal men like that. So there's no protection from the government, there's no protection from their fathers, there's no protection from their husbands in Kali Yuga, there's no protection from their brothers, there's no protection from their sons. In Kali Yuga, actually, women have no protection. The only protection that women have in Kali Yuga is actually through ISKCON. And therefore, you know, we see in Srila Prabhupada's policies that although at certain stages mixing of men and women has certainly created some difficulties, you know, some devotees have fallen down from their principles, you know, it makes it a little difficult, but still Srila Prabhupada made it very, very clear that we should, as a movement, be very strong on giving protection to women, because this is their only protection. And apart from that, even their own, you know, fathers, brothers, governments, the men of this world will simply, you know, exploit them. Create all sorts of difficulties. You know, the men of this world have the you know, of this day and age, they have the, it is very difficult for a woman actually to find a man who doesn't look at them as just an opportunity for some quick exploitation. And you know, you don't find men who will think, oh yes, I will look after this woman throughout the course of her life, come thick and thin. Men don't think like that in this day and age. I know quite often, as an astrologer, I get different women from within the movement, of course, and from out of the movement, and they feel very, very disappointed that they have so much difficulty in relationships. And many of them begin to think that, you know, what have I done wrong, like this, that and the other. And I usually respond that you have to also remember that part of the problem is that you just, it's very difficult for a woman to actually find a good quality man in this age of Kali, and therefore it's no wonder that there is so much difficulty that women have with relationships, women and men. But the women may think, you know, I am not very good at relationships, or this and that and the other. But, you know, in a huge proportion of the cases, is because you just cannot find a man that's actually worthy of having a decent relationship with. And that's the actual fact in this Kali Yuga. So, Srila Prabhupada, he, you know, his policy was you keep the brahmacharis, you know, and brahmacharinis in that ashram as far as possible, because they avoid a huge amount of trouble. You know, as a single person, you're just doing your service to Krishna, there's you know, so much difficulty, you avoid so many disadvantages. And as soon as there is, you know, that combination between the man and the woman, especially in this age of Kali, then so many difficulties and so many dangers. So therefore, if a person can get really good training without any other disturbances, it is good. Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, ashram, very, very good. There's very little distraction from other things, and you can get just really concentrate on, you know, training in Krishna consciousness. As a family person, there are so many other distractions and difficulties which make it very, you know, difficult to do the regular hearing and chanting and preaching and going to the temple and so many things. So therefore, better to get the training before the you know, one enters family life. Then, you know, at least with that good training, one has sufficient strength to keep up that practice of Krishna consciousness even within family life, when there are so many more distractions and difficulties. So remaining brahmachari, remaining brahmacharini as far as possible is a huge advantage in one's Krishna consciousness. At the same time, there is a responsibility within the movement that, you know, all the women should be protected, which means that they be provided a good husband who will look after them throughout the course of their life. We see that ISKCON, which is non-different from Krishna, we see that Krishna, he heard when Indra came to Krishna and complained that this Narakasura or Bhaumasura has, you know, he is a complete rogue and he has captured so many princes. You know, he has roamed all the different kingdoms and, you know, the great kings and what have you. They have their very beautiful daughters. And he has taken them all and he has captured them and kept them in his palace. So Krishna, he actually went to Bhaumasura's kingdom, and Bhaumasura, of course, you know, had fortified his kingdom with this, you know, moats, you know, huge vast bodies of water, moats of water with fierce animals. And there was electric wiring, there was gaseous clouds, there was barbed wire, there was forts in all the directions with, you know, huge armies. And of course Krishna went there and he, with his weapons, his conch and his club, and he smashed to pieces all of those different fortresses, and he entered the kingdom. He killed the Mura demon, and then he killed Narakasura, chopped his five heads off, and then all those 16,108 queens, of course, they had no shelter. But, you know, they had basically, you know, because of their situation, men would not accept them in the Vedic culture as their husband. And they had, you know, that was the strictness of Vedic culture. Even though it wasn't their fault, it was unfortunate circumstances still, that men would not consider that, no, this is a suitable woman for a wife. She had been, you know, in the home of another man. And but Krishna accepted, yes, I will give you all protection. So Krishna, he married those 16,108 queens, and he then provided for them, and he lived as, in one sense, although ordinary in the sense that he followed all the strict rules and regulations of ordinary family life. That's how it's described in the Krishna book, that he followed all strictly all the rules and regulations of ordinary family life in order to set the example of how to, you know, be a good husband, a good father, and live a proper, you know, grihastha life. Because Krishna wanted to set the example that one should live a good life as a family person, if, you know, when one is in that ashram. So Krishna, he, you know, and we see also in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna gives shelter to everyone. You know, whether male, female, doesn't matter what caste or you know, what their past is. Even if they're the most sinful of all wretches, if they actually take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will give them full shelter. So, this, the difficulty we sometimes see is that when we see verses like this, too often you will get the staunch brahmachari or what have you, you know, keep, you know, women away from me and what have you. And it just leaves a huge gap because it doesn't fulfill properly the full, you know, gamut of Srila Prabhupada's vision. That yes, these verses certainly teach us the dangers, the disadvantages, the huge problems, you know, with attachment for man and woman in this world. Everyone should understand that, without a doubt. And we see in the life of Lord Ram, practically the whole Leela of Lord Ram was to show how much trouble, how much trouble you can get into, you know, because he took Sita with him. And so much trouble. He had to, you know, so many battles and so much rain, so many tears. Yeah. But, you know, Lord Ram didn't say, well, I'm God. Ravana's got that one, I'll just make another Sita. Yeah. So, you know, the trouble's there. Like these verses, he showed us the difficulties there. But what else did he show us? That you still have to be responsible and deal with the difficulties. That is also Ram's instruction. And both sides are there. Krishna also, in his pastimes, you know, the difficulties are there, but he showed, you know, yes, but you still have to be responsible. So sometimes what happens, what we see, is that mentality that sometimes is there, which is encouraged amongst the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, then spills over into grihastha life. So you sometimes see that men, they have one or two children and the wife and the home, and they're still acting like a brahmachari. You know, that thinking that their wife is the object of so much problems, and or you know, the wife is a personification of Maya. Sometimes that happens, you know, they're like, you know, so for a brahmachari, you know, there's certainly some caution in how they, you know, they should not be attracted to the beautiful form of the woman, and the brahmacharinis are also very cautious. But, you know, when one actually enters the grihastha ashram, you have to be very careful that we don't carry that mentality over, that the children, you know, and one's wife or one's husband are somehow, you know, representatives of Maya. That is, you know, and therefore, within our society, you know, one of the things that we should, you know, I'm not sure what happens around different parts of the world, but certainly it would be a wonderful thing if within our society there was, you know, huge endeavours to fulfil Srila Prabhupada's, you know, full purpose to give complete protection and shelter to women. That, you know, the opportunity that they can live a peaceful, happy life and, you know, completely fulfilled in their spiritual and material desires. In fact, actually, whenever I do a marriage celebration, marriage ceremony, the vows that they take, you know, the husband promises that I will protect and maintain my wife without divorce, despite the troubles, whatever comes, I will protect and maintain her in her material and spiritual life. So much so was Srila Prabhupada, pushing this, that as a sannyasi, who ordinarily has nothing to do with marriage, he personally taught us by his own example how to properly arrange for the marriages, and he was teaching his disciples how to have sex life in marriage, how to do this, how to raise babies, how to educate them. That's not the business of a sannyasi. But it is so important to Srila Prabhupada, because there was no one else there, that he did it himself. It has to be done. Not that I am sannyasi, okay, this is not very important, so we'll just leave it. No, I'm a sannyasi, I will break the principles of sannyas to override it for a higher principle, that the women who come to us for shelter in ISKCON should have the full protection of the whole society, so that all their spiritual and material needs are fulfilled. And there's a very interesting quote by Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, that one time there was someone took shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur, and he then that person, he was very wealthy, and he then married a very attractive wife, and he went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and asked him that because of the difficulties that he understood were there, that can you give me some understanding how I can continue with hearing and chanting and worshipping Krishna in Grihastha life. And when he heard from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dekor, he became very disappointed that, you will face many obstacles. You want to hear and chant and serve Krishna. Now you're married. Yes, there will be many obstacles. And of course, as grihasthas, we all know that that's a fact. It's very difficult compared to living in the brahmachari ashram, brahmacharini ashram. There's a lot more obstacles to hearing and chanting when you're in grihastha life. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, of course, he gave that instruction, the same as here, given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But then, seeing the man was dejected, he took him to see his spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And he explained the situation. And the Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he said, no, you will not have any obstacles. Because every day you will cook nice foodstuffs and offer that to Lord Vishnu. You will then, as a Vaishnava, you will serve that to your wife, and then you will eat her remnants. That's a fact. And he said that you will see your wife as the servitor of Krishna and as a representative, as non-different from your spiritual master. And by never seeing her as your own servant, but seeing her as the servant of Krishna, there will be no obstacles for you in marriage. So, that's a fact. That was his instruction. So, when a person, even as a devotee, if we see the woman as an object for our service, then there are so many impediments in spiritual life. But if we see the women, one's wife, as a servant of Krishna, then there are no impediments. And also, when one sees one's wife, one sees that sees the spiritual master has been present there. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati taught us that a disciple sees the presence of the spiritual master in every object. See, in this here, this Avadhuta Brahma, of course, is teaching us this. He's saying that, in the elephant, you should see the guru. In the bumblebee, you should see the guru. And Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji is saying, don't stop there. In your wife, you see the guru. That, when you look at your wife, you remember all your spiritual master's instructions. Actually, there's a funny story. I won't tell it about that. Actually, I will. There's I just didn't want to confuse you, but there's one devotee who was his wife came and complained to the spiritual master. I think it was Ramanujacharya. that, you know, my husband is always chanting and reading and, you know, serving Krishna, you know, there's no children, you know, he's busy, you know, can you speak to him? So, you know, the Ramanuja gave him instruction that, you know, you should, you know, always think of Krishna and, you know, you should, you know, serve your spiritual master and, you know, you should go home and have children with your wife. So, you know, so he went and still there was no children. And the spiritual master asked him, after they gave you instruction, he said, yes, but you know, because I always remember my spiritual master and always remembering Krishna, then, you know, then I have no time left to sort of, you know, have children. Anyway, I don't want to confuse you, but the point is that, you know, one should be very, very careful in hearing verses like this, that we don't become a movement of women haters. Right. Neither, whether we're a brahmachari, a sannyas, or a grihastha, we should see, we should in fact be the best example within the universe of those who, you know, treat women with the ultimate respect and affection and compassion and give them all protection and all facility for, you know, their material and spiritual life. That's the point. And that was actually demonstrated by Srila Prabhupada, as demonstrated by Lord Sri Krishna. And there are many different, you know, pastimes in the Bhagavatam which should also be remembered along with this verse. That is the point. And, you know, we should remember that instruction of Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, that, you know, in the same way that we see money as meant for the service of Krishna, then money does not, you know, create any problem. A devotee can accumulate as much wealth as possible. If it can be used in the service of Krishna, they can accumulate wealth unlimitedly. It does not become a problem. And the same, if you know, if one takes a wife and the wife is very, very beautiful, it is not a problem for the devotee because the devotee sees she is the servant of Krishna, and therefore by treating her in that way, there is no impediment. Just like that, if you see the snake, that you know, snakes are very fearful. They represent the senses. They have the fangs, and they will bite and cause death. But if you remove the fangs from the snake, then it no longer becomes, you know, a problem. So in the same way, Krishna consciousness is like that. That as soon as we see everything in relationship with Krishna, then the senses, the mind and the senses, or those objects of the material world which are very fearful objects for others on the spiritual path, become completely harmless for a devotee. So I'll just, perhaps if there's any questions or comments that I might like to ask. Any objections from the brahmacharis? Or the women? Yeah. For the,
I've been around for a long time, not necessarily as a devotee, but I've just watched the movement grow since I met my first devotee in 1969. And I have seen an evolution with respect to the relationship of the Hare Krishna movement and the position of women within the Hare Krishna. I've seen sort of an evolution where I now am aware that natural, for example, the temple president is a woman, and I'm not sure that would have been the case necessarily 30 years ago. Certainly the idea of a woman taking sannyas has been described. I think that's very clear. But
I think we do have sannyas women in our sampradaya. There is Ganga Mata Goswami. There are several very famous sannyasinis. Yeah.
So is possible. What about the issue then of taking disciples?
Yes, there are in our disciplic succession, there are also the I think the wife and even the daughter of Srivas Thakur became initiating gurus and accepted disciples, both men and women. They accepted both men and women. Generally, you know, in Vedic culture, if women take the role of the spiritual master, quite often they will accept female disciples. But if they're actually very spiritually powerful, they can accept both. Mm.
I'm not quite sure I heard from it. I heard that Srila Prabhupada was actually saying that you got the woman to never be independent. She was the connection of the teaching and then women as Prabhupada, I remember.
Yeah, look, there are general principles. You know, in order to for society to you know, function smoothly, but you know, there are exceptions due to you know, very powerful spiritual advancement of some women, and therefore there are some exceptions, you know, to the rule. Yeah. But yeah, there are general principles, and then there are exceptions. Mm. Any other questions? So remember, today's Mother's Day. Everyone, send a message to your mum. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.